Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Winter weather alerts actually stretching over 1,000 miles of the nation as this wintry mess is here for us, heading on its way to other areas of the country, but concerns of sleet and freezing rain. So we're not alone. Maybe we should feel better about it. I don't know. But from Chicago to Cleveland to Philadelphia, the ice storm warnings are in effect for our entire region as we're all impacted by it. So make sure that you make time for this messy morning commute this morning. The peak of the storm, we're in it right now until 8 a.m. this morning. Those are the worst driving conditions. That's the National Weather Service putting out all of those winter weather alerts for you. And then the transition, there's a transition that begins.
I thought we banned that.
Yeah. Didn't Trump sign something yesterday? But seriously, the Philadelphia transition to just plain rain, that will begin around 7:30-ish to 8 a.m.-ish. And then the precipitation here in the city of Philadelphia should end 10 o'clock. By 10 o'clock this morning, it starts to dissipate by noon. And it's from west to east, obviously. But by noon, I think that, like Greg said, by then it's much warmer and the precipitation is pretty much over.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the day will be pretty high of 43 degrees, kind of damp and cloudy.
Philly went virtual. My daughters have the day off in Wissahick in Montgomery County. And it looks like, according to the Inquirer, Bucks County and Central Bucks School District, they're calling it a, quote, flexible instruction day. Completing work online. Which, by the way, I've seen, it's, I don't know, that to me sounds like another way of rephrasing virtual, but I mean, really.
Well, what that, so Bucks, what that's so smart, because what they're doing is they still get to count it, because it's all about counting your hours, so you don't have to give up a snow day. So, but the teachers don't have to make a commitment, like a live commitment, to do virtual.
So basically this comes down to, I mean, we know the kids don't want to go an extra day longer into the summer, in the month of June. This really comes down to whether the teachers want to go an extra day in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what's at play here, I think. Yeah, I mean, yes, you want to factor in safety. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to hit your hours. But if the teachers can call it a day on June 8th or June 9th, I'd probably want to call it a day on June 8th.
Yeah, all school districts of Philadelphia, schools, centers, after-school activities, athletic programs, professional development sessions, all of that scheduled today for Philadelphia, it's all canceled. Our Stuyvesant High School buildings in Philadelphia, they're all closed. And they as well, well, it sounds familiar to what you said in Bucks County, Nick, because the Archdiocese and the private Catholic school buildings, they'll do the flexible parochial program. So it's flexible.
Well, we do a little stretching, and then we have cookies and milk, and then we'll do our English homework.
Bend over and breathe it out.
Yep.
So the grade schools, suburban counties, you want to check. I saw Abington as well. They're all closed. Some school districts, though, have decided to run on a delayed program. And then others, because maybe you have a Mamma Mia musical coming up. Will they have their practice at 3?
Oh, for God's sake.
I know. Audience of one.
Yep.
So the kids don't want to miss that.
No.
You know what I mean? So some, I'll be curious to see as far as sports. Usually the coaches and musical directors, they get around it. They say, well, it's optional. Mm-hmm. I'll be here.
Yeah.
And then everybody shows up.
I'm just trying to figure out if my girls will have dance tonight at 4:45. They better.
They probably 440, will.
4:45?
Really? You never know. These people, they love to call it off. And oh, by the way, I don't get that money back for that day.
What?
Really?
No. It's amazing.
Wow.
Schools were closed yesterday by dinner time.
Yep.
When nothing had fallen. And by the way, the roads are fine.
Yep.
They're fine.
Yep.
I got behind a salt truck this morning, and I just cruised right down by there.
So you were Saquon Barkley behind Lane Johnson.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's so easy. We all can run for 7 yards a carry.
Absolutely. Okay. I had no problems.
I know. Well, Nick and I, the coffee, we were talking, like, Lincoln Drive, I got behind, like, two cars. They think they're the Blue Angels. So they're just, and the one car needs new tires. So I was like, it was like 12 to 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
All of Lincoln Drive.
Yeah. If you're going to, like, pace the car next to you, then get behind them.
Yeah. Please. Mm-hmm. Please, people.
Stop.
So we did.
Dawn needs to get to work.
I know.
Stay out of her way.
I know, right? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So leaf flat, it took me an hour and 5 minutes. And what is Chestnut Hill? Like 11, technically 11 miles or something?
Yeah.
So leave plenty of time if you have to go now. So we do have a lot of stories about updating you as to what's going on in Philadelphia. Police releasing the name of the man who was killed on the ground in Philadelphia when the MedJet crashed in Northeast Philadelphia. That was last Friday. He's identified as 37-year-old Stephen Druitt. He was found dead inside his vehicle after the plane had crashed just before 6:10 p.m. Friday night, and he was on Cottman Avenue. His family, his girlfriend, 9-year-old son, they were also in the vehicle. And then the boy's mother, she was speaking out, saying that that the little boy has a 90% burns of his body, but others, you know, so we don't have their condition updates, but there were so many people injured. We've talked about the little boy named Trey Howard, the 10-year-old little boy, who that was all my kids were talking about yesterday because he survived amazingly. We talked about that yesterday and had the brain surgery and was talking. So a lot of miracle stories, but for this family, for 37-year-old Stephen Druitt, his family, it's just, it's a devastating situation. But he was that one man who was killed on the ground.
Did they ever give us the identity of the man that was walking around on fire? Do we know his status?
See, and that's, I don't know if, is that Stephen Druitt? Like, I don't know if it's Mr. Okay. Druitt. I don't know that it's him.
Yeah, I tried to refrain from even posting it just because I didn't even know if that was the video from what the, of the tragedy that occurred, right? Like, you just see these things that go viral and you're not even really, because I couldn't tell by watching the video if that was even the Cottman area. And I know that went nuts last Friday and I was just like, oh boy.
Such a tragedy. Mm-hmm. And obviously the six people inside the jet, the little girl who had received the life-saving treatments at our local Shriners Children's Hospital. So we did get that update. And then, of course, last night, and I know we'll get to it, but just to headline this for you, Mayor Sherelle Parker leading a community meeting that was promised at a local elementary school. So this was Solomon Solis Cohen Element Grade School there. And they started with a moment of silence for the victims, including Mr. Druitt, and praying as well, moment of silence for those who are still hospitalized. Two dozen people at least injured by this, but then many still hospitalized, some of them in critical condition. And then all of those agencies, city agencies, the American Red Cross, they were all there because there are people who, you know, there are 366 properties that were impacted. So some of them were on fire, and we saw the firefighters who reacted so quickly, but others just impacted because, you know, that basically, you know, shrapnel and fiery debris coming from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just trying to figure this out, figure out the cleanup. We've told you that they've requested state and federal funds. And also, I will say this, that Philadelphia Managing Director Adam Thiel put out a statement, just a reminder that if you come across any debris at all, because this is still under investigation, you can call 911, you can report it to the NTSB, but if you see anything, they really want to collect every piece of scrap that
sure.
they can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just putting out that word. And yesterday we talked about the U.S. Postal Service, real quick here. Remember we said that U.S. Postal Service, they had announced that they would no longer accept parcels from China and Hong Kong because of the tariff situation going back and forth and Trump's 10% tariff on China and then China promising by next Monday that they'll impose a tariff. And then later in the morning, mid-morning, I'll say it was like 11:30 yesterday, they reversed it. And they said, nope, we're not going to put a pause. We're not going to place a ban on those inbound packages. They will get through. So they didn't really give an explanation, but just a heads up if you were expecting that wrench from TMU. Not that I am, but, you know, thought I would just mention that.
Yeah. Don't worry. My bike parts are back.
Greg's bike parts. It's just for you, audience of one.
Road Warrior sent me a text at 5 a.m. this morning. Says your pedals are back on track or handlebars
okay.
or something. So.
Nice.
No excuses now, Kale.
Yeah.
I'm doing this.
All right.
In when is it, July?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got that going. I know we'll talk all things Trump. It was a great day. It was a great day to see all those women and girls surrounding President Trump as he signed and kept his promise, signing that measure to protect women's
kept
sports.
Kept his promise to you.
He did.
Yes. He said on this show.
Very personal.
Yep. Right to you, Stensland. May 13th, 2024.
Promise made, promise kept.
Yep. I thought so, Trump didn't surround himself with brave, courageous women. Wasn't that what Mark Cuban
well
told
said.
Me? Hmm.
But it was neat, and Riley Gaines was there, Paula Scanlon. I mean, there was just, I thought it was just a great event celebrating girls and women.
Not that you have to really label yourself brave or courageous for standing up for common sense in biology, but, you know, in the world where you get slandered and you can be labeled homophobic because you don't want a dude in a Speedo in your locker room, you know, it is
courageous. Or without the Speedo.
Or without the Speedo, yeah.
And speaking of celebrating women, we got to celebrate which Trump got a Fox show and bumped Brian Kilmeade. How's that for a tease?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I thought state-run media was only Politico. Oh, I've got, you know, I'm a consistent guy. I've got thoughts on that later today.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that one. We're sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear that squeal or grinding noise?
She'll be very critical. I'm sorry, Meineke. She'll be very critical of the...
In related news, Hunter Biden will now take over for David Muir.
Who would be more... Hunter having a show would be entertaining.
Let's be real here.
As long as he's doing blow on camera.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
The new Jackass. Jackass 2.0. Hunter Biden.
Hunter and Johnny Knoxville.
Hunter and Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, my gosh.
Or Steve-O.
Well, Hunter was doing those tricks, right, with the Skittles?
I can't really or the expound M&Ms upon that. Yeah, that's not in my wheelhouse.
It was either Skittles or M&Ms.
Yeah.
He put a lot on there, too.
I can Hunter explain when it comes to drinking. When it comes to the other stuff, I have no idea.
All right. Well, if you're pumping the brakes and you feel like you're on the Skittles, I'm trying to do the transition back to Meineke here.
Best spot Meineke could ever ask for.
Better up them rates.
Yeah, we got to talk about Meineke. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring Kill & Company, because you don't wait on this one. Think about a morning like this one, and that's why you've got to be prepared for days like this. The next storm moving in Saturday, that's when the snow is going to hit again with a wintry mix for you Saturday after today. So just take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians, they're going to diagnose the problem for you. You can find a location right near you, Meineke.com. That's M-E-I-N-E-K-E, Meineke.com. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17 Thursday morning. Let's get to a slippery big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company,
which is brought to you by American Heritage Credit Union. State-run media has been exposed. Bought and paid for media, propaganda, journalists and reporters masquerading around as progressive activists. The mainstream media and the Democrat Party in lockstep, in unison, spewing the same DNC talking points. It all makes sense now. Our suspicions and our claims confirmed. As Democrat desperation reaches peak hysteria, the legacy media has been exposed for what they are, shills for the far left and the Democrat Party. It's no wonder that the double downs keep occurring while simultaneously both the party, Democrats, and the publications, which we'll get to, are collapsing. The captain and the crew going down with the ship. Elon Musk, Doge, and the Trump administration doing exactly what they said they would do, and then some, as they are exposing the fraud that is USAID. Tuesday's revelations included Sesame Street funding in the Middle East and DEI operas in Ireland. And that was bad enough. It's your tax dollars, right? It's my tax dollars. But yesterday, it got worse. It was uncovered that our public tax dollars have been funding the New York Times, the Associated Press, Politico, and of course, Reuters. We already know that NPR and PBS are taxpayer-funded. We get that. We might not like it, but we kind of accept it. But now, longtime, well-established heritage outlets, not only making money for profit through ad dollars and subscriptions with paywalls, but also getting tax dollars. That is outrageous, right? Folks, the deep state is being picked clean. We're witnessing it right now. I'm not saying the swamp will ever be completely drained, and if it ever was, it would just respawn and fill back up. But the meat right now is being picked right off of the bone. Countless jobs being eliminated. I believe the number is now 40,000 with the federal government. From bloated salaries to useless job titles to stupid pronouns in your email signatures. And the books are being exposed. The slush funds are drying up. So what's going to happen? Well, yesterday, impeachments. That's right. It's impeachment season. Impeachment one of Trump term 2.0, as the hysteria is about to ratchet up to unprecedented levels. I actually think now the Trump sequel is going to surpass the first Trump movie. And we're only 3 weeks into another 4 years, from USAID to the bought and paid for media to Trump wanting to take over Gaza. Here we go. And if you thought Houston's Jasmine Crockett was a doozy, get a load of this. Here's Democrat Al Green from Houston, Texas, firing up the impeachment facade. Listen and watch.
I rise to announce that the movement to impeach the president has begun. I rise to announce that I will bring articles of impeachment against the president for dastardly deeds proposed and dastardly deeds done. I also rise to say that the impeachment movement is going to be a grass-up movement, not a top-down. The people have got to move forward. The people have to demand it. And when the people demand it, it will be done. I did it before. I laid the foundation for impeachment, and it was done. Nobody knows more about it than I. And I know that it's time for us to lay the foundation again. On some issues, it is better to stand alone than not stand at all. On this issue, I stand alone, but I stand for justice.
The only thing that rose there was his blood pressure. And what exactly constitutes dastardly deeds? But I love the gold handle on the cane. It reminds me of an 80s WWF wrestling manager. Texas tax dollars, baby. Hard at work. Here are some of the details on the bought and paid for legacy media that was unearthed yesterday. The New York Times received over $50 million since 2021 from the federal government. How is that possible? And you wonder why they can continue to exist when they charge you a dollar a month for a six-month subscription online for a digital account. It's unbelievable. Politico has received $8 million in the last 12 calendar months alone. The Associated Press also receiving funding as well. But here's the most important question that I have. What are the First Amendment implications here? The government has legitimately been bankrolling for-profit media outlets. The news is entirely tainted and corrupted by one political party. And now we see why Politico and other outlets were prohibited from running the Hunter Biden laptop story. We gave you that clip from that reporter just about 2 weeks ago here on Kale and Company. Here's White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt speaking about these revelations. Listen and watch.
I was made aware of the funding from USAID to media outlets, including Politico, who I know has a seat in this room. And I can confirm that the more than 8 million taxpayer dollars that have gone to essentially subsidizing subscriptions to Politico on the American taxpayer's dime will no longer be happening. The DOGE team is working on canceling those payments now. Again, this is a whole of government effort to ensure that we are going line by line when it comes to the federal government's books. And this president and his team are making decisions across the board on, do these receipts serve the interests of the American people? Is this a good use of the American taxpayers' money? If it is not, that funding will no longer be sent abroad, and American taxpayers will see significant savings because of that effort. Thank you.
I mean, if you think about this, and maybe you need a Venn diagram to explain it, your tax dollars going to the government, which is then shipped off to these media outlets who then verbally attack and slander you on your dime. Speaking of USAID funding, more revelations and expenses coming out of your pocket going elsewhere. How's this sound? $1.5 million for DEI in Serbia. $2 million for sex changes in Guatemala. $1 million to help disabled people in Tajikistan become climate leaders. That might be my favorite one yet. $4.5 million in total for that. And guess what, everybody? If you call this out, the Dems will shout and scream at you like a three-year-old who just lost their Wi-Fi access to Disney Plus on their iPads. Here's Cory Booker losing his ever-loving mind. Listen and watch.
We will fight their violation of civil service laws. We will fight their violation of civil rights laws. We will fight their violations of separation of powers. We will fight their violations of our Constitution of the United States of America. We will not shut up. We will stand up. We will speak up. We will rise up. It is time, as the African spiritual says, for us to lift every voice in condemnation of what's going on.
Hmm. All of that over the curtain being lifted on ridiculous foreign aid projects in low-energy nations not named the United States of America, and exposing the media for what they are. If Democrats fought that hard and were that loud right there for the working man in America, they might have won the election this past November. And lastly, speaking of losers in last November, we get to Kamala Harris as CBS officially released the entire 60 Minutes interview at the request of Brendan Carr, the FCC, and Donald Trump's lawsuit. Trump claimed election interference and deceptive editing practices were done by the network to prop up the VP. Full details coming up at the bottom of the hour. You can watch all 53 minutes and read the full transcript online if you wish. But we are merely 3 weeks into a new administration. At this rate, Trump may very well exhaust every campaign promise well before the first 100 days come and go. There's still plenty of work to do. Wars, military involvement could happen. Short-term pain from tariffs on the economy. Still need to get prices down for the everyday consumer. But my, oh my, what a start it's been. And speaking of exhausting themselves, the Democrats, they just might collapse from exhaustion at any minute, screaming and shouting at the top of their lungs. But this morning, safe to say, we were right again. The media and the Democrats in bed together and going down together. Perhaps for good. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
We're brought to you by American Heritage Credit Union, where they help you boost your savings. You can choose a 12-month IRA certificate at 4.20% APY or a 9-month certificate at 4.15%. Visit AmericanHeritageCU.org, federally insured by NCUA. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back, get your thoughts and reactions. You can climb in on all of the socials as well as our YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. It's Kale and Company. Be careful out there. We're back after this. Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Snowflakes out there that, like, when we started talking about it in the beginning, they were like, oh, you're making fun of her affliction. Nobody's making fun of anything. First of all, I said I would love to hang out with her. Yes. I would be her best friend.
Right.
Second of all, she's on television doing this. She's an influencer. Mm-hmm.
She's making money.
Yeah, she's making money, and she's making the best out of her situation, which I think is fabulous.
Yes. And basically, it's not coming from your tax dollars either. No.
Yeah, we're basically giving her free advertisements so she can make more money.
Amen.
Yeah. Wait till you hear her today. It's very political.
Uh-oh.
So it has something to do with the former administration, and trust me.
Believe me, you will guzzle.
Yes. You will guzzle when you hear this.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jimmy Kelly, and thank you, Dawn Stensland. All right, Dawn. So 61% of Americans, according to the last Gallup poll, distrust mainstream media. That number should skyrocket exponentially in the next couple of days or the next time Gallup polls people with that specific question after the curtains were lifted yesterday for the collapsing legacy media. I know we mentioned it a little bit in the news with Politico Pro, but the Times, Politico, the Associated Press, Reuters, and I would love to know how many television networks might be receiving money. I mean, we've only begun to scratch the surface here, I think, with Doge, Elon Musk, and finding out all the financial rot and where our tax dollars are going. Your thoughts?
It's incredible. And I love, you know, Caroline Levitt, when she'll just riff on this and she'll just talk. She'll just pick up a piece of paper and start riffing on all of these different things that we've been paying for, which is just shocking. But I think here's the problem for Democrats. They're out there and, you know, we've been playing it all week on the cut sheet with looking goofy and protesting. And then you see part of what Doge has uncovered. And I just think that you have to ask yourself, well, what are you really for then? Mm-hmm. You're for us paying for all of this crud. And so I think it's a losing look, if you will, for them. What can they really say?
Mm-hmm.
They just look antiquated. They look apathetic, and they look like they basically want to just cover something up and keep cashing in on our tax dollars.
It is really remarkable, and I've never had any outlet write anything. I guess, technically negative about me, although maybe that day will come soon where the Inquirer hears something and they decide to go after me or Philly Mag or any of these publications. But I saw the Libs of TikTok account yesterday on Twitter, and they had a screen grab in regards to this story of a New York Times article that was going after and bashing the Libs of TikTok account, which we use from time to time to play, meltdowns over gender identity on the cut sheet. And the girl, I forget what her name is, Chaya, or I'm probably butchering her name. She goes, so basically, my taxpayer dollars went to you, the New York Times, to rip me in an article, which is really next level when you think about it. And then, of course, you have a lot of these outlets. Now, I know the Philadelphia Inquirer is not included or the Washington Post as of yet that we know of, but you get these ads. I'll go to the New York Times. Stalker will send an article, an op-ed piece from the New York Times. You click on it. Sometimes you have to get behind the paywall and log in. We have one for the New York Times for the station, so I use that account. And it says, you can get 6 months of the New York Times for $1. And I'm thinking, all right, your circulation has gone down in the print edition. You're hemorrhaging subscribers on your digital. How are you, and I know you've had layoffs, but how are you affording to pay some of these columnists and keep this thing going? Well, it certainly helps when you get $21 million to bankroll your operation and keep yourself afloat in a day and age where legacy media is dying and people don't read newspapers anymore. We are legitimately, unbeknownst to us up until yesterday, keeping, quote, the media enemy in business. This is astounding. This goes against everything. Dawn, you're the journalist of the show, but doesn't this kind of go against the basic tenets
of
what you're taught at J school?
Well, absolutely. And I just wonder what laws were broken, because at some point, if you have on one hand, you know, former or current CIA, federal individuals who are calling, we know from Zuckerberg, right, looking at social media, telling them what they can and cannot report on. And even back when Twitter was Twitter and not run by Elon Musk. And then think about this now. And so it would appear that my question is, was this some kind of collusion? In other words, on one hand, silencing legitimate media like the New York Post that was investigating the laptop, Russia, etc., before an election. So did they commit crimes? Was this election interference? Because if on one hand you're silencing actual journalists and investigative reports, and on the other hand you're subsidizing people like Politico, who we all thought, oh, they have this big investigation, but there were hit pieces on certain individuals,
right?
And so you start looking at this and saying, well, wait a minute, was this an effort that was in any way orchestrated to interfere with an election, and namely the 2020 election?
And just case in point for what you're talking about, let's go to New York, although both publications are considered, I believe, national publications, the New York Times, the New York Post. To your point, the New York Times is operating on taxpayer dollars and is a for-profit business model, and they are giving you bought and paid for DNC talking points verbatim, while simultaneously our federal government is pressuring social media into not being able to share Miranda Devine's work for the New York Post that exposed, as we realize, was the truth behind the authenticity of Hunter Biden and the laptop story. That is it in a nutshell. New York Times, do what you want. It's all funded from us. And then you're competition, your rival, your alternative source, the New York Post. I'm sorry, that can't be shared on Facebook. Shut it down. Flag it. Shadow ban them. Ban their accounts.
But no wonder, and that's why it's such a bad look, to your point, about for Democrats right now, because I just think the headline that, what was the exact, it was $8.2 million to Politico Pro.
Yep.
$8.2 million. And I'm just going to say this, in Philadelphia, we still don't have HVAC in all of our schools.
We have no air conditioning.
Okay?
By the way,
seriously,
how much money is 1210 WPHT subsidized?
Oh, my God.
Right? So, seriously.
That's a good point. Yeah. But do we get our money back? You know what I'm saying? And I'm really serious. I think the American people, we deserve our money back.
It's ridiculous.
That's
not right. We should call Morgan & Morgan for a class action lawsuit.
Class action.
Yes.
Yeah. The American people, just think about your point about Morgan & Morgan.
Largest firm in the country. They have lawyers everywhere.
Everybody can get 16 cents back.
Yeah, right? But still, I want, like, my kids' loss of learning. And we were in private schools. Imagine the public school kids.
True.
But imagine that we were damaged. Do you know what I'm saying? Our kids were damaged. Our society, our business. We all took, everybody, if you didn't lose your job, you were taking pay cuts, 10 to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what if Americans, like, filed a Morgan & Morgan?
Yep, I agree.
File a class action. You're not a nobody. What's the commercial? I love those commercials.
God. They're all from
You're
Tennessee.
You're a somebody. You're a somebody, America. You know what I mean? But I think we're reporting on it. And it's infuriating. But I think, well, wait a minute. We should get our money back. That is not right.
I agree. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Now we jump to CBS as yesterday, the uncut 60 Minutes Kamala Harris interview was revealed. And basically what this came down to was her position and her answer, her stance, so to speak, when she was asked about the Middle East, Israel, and things like that. And the New York Post, and I wanted to wait because it came out early in the day yesterday. The full footage was out there. And then some of the opinions started to come in. Brian Stelter on the CNN side of things. Well, they technically didn't violate a law, although you can tell that there was some cleaning up, so to speak. The New York Post says through their analysis, Harris gave a one, and this is the Brendan Carr, Donald Trump lawsuit, you know, election integrity interference, deceptive editing practice lawsuit. Harris gave a 179-word answer on Israel that 60 Minutes ultimately cut down to just 20 words. Now, you can get the full transcript online. I'm not going to read that for you on the radio. You can watch the full unedited or unredacted clip on social media. It's about 53 minutes long. The FCC says it's investigating this. Trump, obviously, who appointed FCC Chair Brendan Carr, he got the full transcript. And basically what they are saying is that this is an industry standard for practices of time, space, and or clarity. But a CBS source, now this is interesting, told the Post on Wednesday that the 60 Minutes edit did Harris, quote, a lot of favors and makes her seem more succinct. Quote, you have to watch the video. A lot of word salad, the source said. Feels like a cleanup on aisle 7. Not a technical foul, but one could argue still news distortion. So I went back and just watched that clip that we're all focused on, because that's really the crux of the argument here. And you can clearly tell that when you watched it in real time versus what you saw later in shortened versions, that and this is just my opinion, Dawn, you would know better having worked at networks like this, somebody probably said, or multiple people probably said, that was rough. How can we make this presentable? That's my interpretation on it.
Yeah, and I think so here's the thing. If they cleaned up everybody's, then and they could say, hey, we do this for everybody. When we do these long form interviews for the interest of time, and also because, you know, we tell people we're not going to release the raw video, so we always clean it up. If they did that consistently, then they would have a good argument. But we all know that if Trump did any of those things, and anything, God forbid, that he said that wasn't quite right or whatever, they would accentuate that, right? They would play it over and look at him, look at what he said, blah blah blah.
Well, so imagine if Trump was being interviewed on X Spaces with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So that's Katie Couric had something like this years ago. And what was it? I remember this. It was a Second Amendment rights guy that she interviewed and was making him look like an idiot. And luckily, remember this? And the man, so sometimes they'll do this. And the man wisely at that point, his people had made sure that they taped everything and they released it, and then it made Katie Couric look horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's always important, especially if you're a conservative, yep, that you protect yourself and have somebody come along, even like with an iPad, iPhone, whatever, and just record everything. But in this case, I just think to myself, the telltale sign of this is that the former FCC individuals and CBS kind of seemed like they colluded with the former administration to not release it.
Yeah,
and now finally,
they did everything they could to prop her up.
So that's the telltale piece of this,
right?
That they did everything they could to block this from coming out. And that tells you everything you need to know.
And when we talk about the answer that was clipped down, I gave you the first portion, which went from 179 words down to 20. Then she had what the Post is saying, a rambling 140-word answer, according to the full transcript. However, when it was released and repackaged, that 140-word answer was cleaned up and trimmed down to 56 words. So they are giving you, and I understand when you do a long-form interview, you know, you're going to do editing, you're going to tighten things up. I've been a radio producer where I've taken two-minute clips and turned them into 48-second clips. I've tightened them up. I've amplified the volume. But I never misled the audience completely.
But here's the thing, too, with that, is that, yes, it's a long-form interview that they need to tighten up to fit their broadcast. But why can't you just say, like with our interview with your interview with Trump, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that, you guys had 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you went 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. There was no editing. There was no anything.
No.
It just went, you know, it went 10 minutes. So why couldn't they just come in? I guess because TV's different. Why couldn't they just come in and say, okay, you have, you know, whatever the set amount of time is for this, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it is, and then just do it and roll it live.
Well, we have, and I don't know the TV answer to that, but I would say in the name of honesty and transparency, there should be election or federal laws or FCC rules. When we have presidential elections and we're in campaign season, I think the American public should be given full access to transcripts and full video or audio tape, so to speak.
No, that's a private company.
Really?
I'm going to push back. I don't want laws on that kind of thing. But I think that these different what's happening right now is the way to do it so that they have accountability. And the American people will decide. You know what I'm saying? And they're gonna pay Trump. At the end of the day, they're gonna settle this. I don't know that CBS necessarily what happens with them, because they're gonna say, well, we edit I worked for CBS Network. I mean, you do long form interviews, and they're not always, they call it live to tape. But the piece of this that bothers me most of all is that they were protecting her, and they refused to release the full thing. Like, usually, if you did that interview, you would not make a deal. That's my question. Did they make a deal with Kamala Harris?
I think
that
there's
they
no
would
doubt.
Not release.
Well, has she done any interview live? When she was on the campaign trip, did she do anything?
Yes, she did that one with Brett Baer. Remember?
Oh, yeah,
and it was weird, and they were all going like embarrassing because they were stopping it short. It was bizarre.
Yeah. Remember the stipulations that she tried to give to Rogan? And Rogan was like, no.
It's like, no. You can come here to Texas just like everybody else.
Right. I'm not putting a time limit on it. We'll go as far as we can go.
I would say the biggest one with the CBS that I saw, what the biggest difference was her answer on Israel, because I mean, she had you remember, she blew off Netanyahu.
Yeah.
She was trying to walk that fine line to not, because she wanted Michigan, etc. And so that was the biggest one, that they cut that answer so far down to a really short, succinct answer about Israel. And if you go back and you look at that long answer, that one, there was a huge disparity.
Oh, yeah.
And so but my question is, who was it? Was it Bill Whitaker? Was it a producer? Did they tell her, oh, don't worry? Because why would she be so comfortable in that CBS space?
Yep.
And yet, for example, with Brett Baer in the other space.
Yeah, home field versus road game.
Right?
Yep.
By the way, speaking of Rogan, I mean, he basically called her out because they came out and said that there was all this miscommunication and that he really, like, he sabotaged it for Trump, is basically what the Harris campaign or whoever set that up is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogan was like, absolutely not. He even said on his podcast that he wanted to go as far as to tape with Kamala and Trump you know, a couple days apart and release them on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And just let people, you know what I mean? Like here's both of these interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all of these communications that they said that, right. you know, they had with me or my people
mm-hmm.
are not true.
She's scared to be put on the spot on subjects that she's not well versed in, which obviously was the Israeli, or maybe she's conflicted in because she has to play the pro-Gaza card because that's what the party's about right now. Maybe she doesn't believe that. Maybe she doesn't buy into it. I'm not really sure one way or the other. But do you think, I mean, she really does come off bad on the Middle East and the foreign policy there. Do you think they would extend the same favor to RFK Jr. if he screwed up Medicare versus Medicaid?
No.
Zero shot. They would bury that guy.
But think about what we're saying on February 6th, 2025, with Trump as president, and what Greg Stocker just said. Joe Rogan has more journalistic integrity than CBS News.
A comedian / UFC announcer.
Did you ever think? And that's the land we're living in right now. But the cool thing is the American people saw through all of this.
Yep.
And that makes my heart warm, because the American people saw what was the right thing, did the right thing, voted the right way. And I'm grateful for that.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. And we have a whole lot more of good things lined up, including a very loaded cut sheet. And also the fallout, the backlash, the reaction to Trump making sure that men no longer step into women's sports. The media losing their mind. And we'll give you the details as we continue. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.